Accentuate the positive. Destroy all the negatives. Before the black mass media get a hold of them.
Welcome to the Multimedia Men Podcast, number 41.
Woo! Do we have walkers yet? For
we do have a...
We're cougars now, guys.
What's it called? A crutch?
We have a full house this time. Yeah. Everybody's here. Brian Kluger's here. Hi. Adam Conway's here.
It's a rare condition.
Oh, what? Yeah. Hey.
What?
Gwen Reyes.
Gwen Reyes is here, and she brought donuts.
From
Dunkin' Donuts, because as I like to think that the multimedia men run on Dunkin'.
Gwen Reyes?
She's a minor Game of Thrones character. You didn't hear about her.
Andrew Conway's here.
Yeah, yes,
he's injured. He's on our injured list. What happened?
Yeah, injured reserves.
You have an ankle problem, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He broke
problems,
it.
Right?
It's called fill out of ankles.
You and an Uber driver shot someone? What?
They robbed
a Jack in the Box.
But he's still here. He made it.
I deposed of it.
Munchie meals.
Susan Kamyab is here.
Hi, Kamjob.
Come job. I tried that last week. Nobody liked it again. I guess it was one done. I'm with you though. I like it.
Come job.
I love Susan. She's like whatever.
And Gotti Elcon. Gotti Elcon.
I love following it.
Yes, Gottington. Gottington over there.
Good.
Hello.
This is our 41st podcast. We're still together.
I feel like we should each get like a persona. Like, Scotty is so like super chill.
Of course I am.
And Susan's like the smart one.
She laughed at that.
She laughed at that. How do you know I'm smart?
Andrew's the one that killed a guy and used UberX to get rid of the body.
It only cost $22.
And Gwen, who are you? The 65-year-old?
Yeah, I'm the oldest
one.
She's
the
literary expert.
She's literally an expert.
I wanted to say I was the funny one, but...
She brings a Latin flair to the podcast.
I do. Yes. Only on paper. That way we're diverse, but on paper.
Yeah, we're very diverse.
Yeah, even though we're known as a multimedia men.
Yeah, I've got two ladies.
She has a passion for the gap.
We've got...
Do we change the name?
No.
The multimedia people?
No. I like the alliteration, okay?
I think it should be the Multimedia Men Podcast with Susan and Gwen. Yeah.
There you go.
It's alliteration. It works. And what's Adam, then?
Yeah, what are you?
Adam is always...
Yeah, it's a cute name.
Adam is what?
It's not my fault.
He's always late.
Boozin. Yeah, right. It's always you.
And Brian, you're the captain.
He's special.
Captain
Gwen.
Captain Tom.
Are you dead?
Yeah.
A little serious.
You know something I don't?
No.
What are you talking about?
How about
sports?
Dude, bro.
What are we talking about?
Podcast 41. We're going to have some fun. First off, let's have some fun. This is on the fly. On the fly segment.
This whole thing's on the fly.
It's going to be awesome. I haven't
what
even
What are we talking about?
This is the show not been on the fly.
Yeah. So, each of us, let's... If you had your chance to see a zombie killed, how would you see that zombie killed? What would be the best way to see a zombie death?
My. The only way possible they would die is shooting in the head.
Like with a gun?
Smart. Whatever, guys.
Like I said, proving my
only one
seems like she's done this before.
We've all seen this.
But an interesting, fun way.
Sharknado, guys. That's how I
would like. Shark, you want Sharknado to take out a zombie?
I would like a zombie to accidentally fall on one of those balloons, fill up with air and just explode.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
Like, fill up with helium, kind of float away and explode.
Or, like, in... To bring back to blood, because today is the final episode of the final season.
Thank God.
Ever. When Sam was a bug, when he was a fly, and he flew into Carolyn Hennessy's body and extended throughout, that would be an awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that was cool.
There's been some amazing deaths this season.
All right, so hold on. We have Sharknado zombie death, we have a helium balloon zombie death, and we have a shapeshifter flying into a zombie's mouth as a fly, and then human sizing.
Yep.
Bam. Okay. Susan, are you still going with the gun? Gun to the head.
Tell us of the Sharknado.
Really
thing.
Big gun.
Yeah.
Dead on a rake.
He's a dumb zombie.
All right. So the smart one. She goes direct. Do that. What kind? Just a regular handgun? Bazooka?
Let's go with like something big. I don't know.
Something big.
Like a bazooka.
Got it.
You know, Josh Brolin inspired me because he said he would be involved in Goonies too. So if possible, this would be at sea on the ship, and a baby Ruth would be involved, inserting into the mouth, and then eaten by the entire Goonies crew.
And then Bill Murray comes out afterwards and eats it?
Yeah.
Where was the zombie death?
You don't
want to
eat zombie? That's dead meat.
Where was the zombie death in that?
There isn't one. Just go with it.
Just go with it.
He just wants to see Goonies 2. Yeah. Oh, it's Paul Harry right there.
With zombies.
Right, what about you, Brian?
My zombie death is taking a glove, whatever, sticking up the zombie's butthole all the way, pulling
like
out everything.
Like a power glove?
Brain and all. And stomping the brain.
I don't think you have long enough arm.
You can.
I don't think so.
Do you have enough glue for that?
Huh?
Do you think that like a zombie butthole is kind of tight? Do you have
an idea? I mean, I would probably.
I don't know.
Muscles all the way up and put rock salt on it, so it'd be weird.
Rock salt?
What's going to keep him?
You really want to torture this
person? I don't think I can.
He's trying to eat me.
Yeah. You'd make it like a chest cavity. So
that
basket
is alive. So I would grab onto its like spinal cord
and
rip it out as hard as I
can. Get stuck and he eats your ass.
He couldn't because he'd be a bear. It'd be my puppet.
I thought it was fun. Maybe the zombie is like Peter Dinklage size.
Yes. Only small people zombies.
I was just saying like a zombie gets squashed by the...
It's a puppet zombie, guys. That's
idea for a movie.
And little zombies.
Idea for a movie.
Little.
We've seen Nazi zombies, alien zombies, fast zombies, slow zombies.
We haven't seen
little people zombies yet. It just affects them.
Are you sure?
I haven't seen that.
Wait, so they're attacking regular sized
people? Yes.
This is genius.
We're already off to a great start.
I mean, we each have one of our murders.
All right.
The Goonies could be involved. So.
All right, let's move on to some interesting.
Rolling, right?
Let's move on to some interesting bits.
Daniel's getting sci-fi. Code.
Interesting bits of news. Let's start out with a weird one. Johnny Depp and Kevin Smith are teaming up to make a movie.
Why is that weird? It's actually not them.
Because Johnny Depp and Kevin Smith.
It's their daughters that are starring in it together.
Yeah, but where's Johnny Depp then? How far has he fallen?
Well, he's been rich.
Well, he can do whatever he wants.
He's
waiting for the fierce Pirates to come on.
Which is coming out.
Which will make $100 million off.
He's making Mordecai.
Mordecai looks good. Looks like Inspector Clouseau.
It's pretty much just Peter Sellers.
I'm
Johnny
Depp.
Alice Cooper. That's who's coming out, unfortunately. So yeah, he's
when was the last good Johnny Depp movie?
Did you see Transcendence?
That was terrible.
That was terrible.
Yeah, that was
exactly.
Yeah. When was what was the last one? What was literally the last good Johnny Depp movie?
Lone Ranger?
Not so good.
You're naming not good ones.
The first Pirates.
I was about to say that one.
How long ago was that?
A couple years.
Is a decade more?
Ten.
Early 2000s.
I hated Alice in Wonderland.
Was he
alright?
I like Rum.
No.
Was he in a gangster one?
Rango. Who's gonna Rango?
Oh, I loved Rango.
Rango was pretty good.
That was good.
It was the plot of Chinatown, but yeah.
No, but you're right. He was Michael Mann. He played the
Public Enemy. I hated that.
Yeah, but that wasn't
he was really good,
though,
right?
Okay,
like
fair.
Him.
He was really good in that movie.
I didn't like the movie.
So was the last like good movie made? It was like maybe late 90s that he was in? Like Fear and Loathing
Ed Wood.
Gilbert Grape?
I liked his cameo in 21 Jump Street. That was
Yeah.
Very short.
Not a Johnny Depp movie, though.
Maybe now that he's getting divorced from his wife so that he can marry a form of the...
Well, he's already married Amber Heard.
He got married already? Okay,
yeah.
So he's got a lot of bills.
Even though she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
But where is...
She turns great.
But is there a connection between Kevin Smith and Johnny Depp? How this happened?
No. Johnny Depp's one of the workers.
Yeah, I'm sure he can meet whoever.
Kevin Smith just reached out to Johnny Depp.
So he's like, okay, I like...
Come be in my movie called Yoga Hoses.
Are you excited?
But isn't his kid? Aren't there kids in it too? And
yeah, the kids
really
are strong
in
it.
Yeah, so that's like kind of fun. I think his kids want to see the movie.
I'm really excited about this. Kevin Smith with Johnny Depp seems funny.
Yeah,
I mean,
apparently he has a cameo in Tusk also that is not credited.
I'm excited for Tusk.
Oh,
the
Walrus. Even though it looks like really
Mordecai that looks good.
Brutal.
That trailer's really good.
Yeah,
but do you think John? I mean, I feel like Johnny Depp needs to be in a Tarantino movie to get his career back on track.
No. He's not bad. He's not Nick Cage yet.
Nick Cage has been awesome recently.
He was good and great in Joe, but now he has another five terrible movies.
Rage was good.
Well, he's playing Whitey Bulger in a movie coming out.
Left Behind. You remember that?
Redoing the Left Behind series.
Yeah.
That's ballsy.
Without Kirk Cameron. All right, moving on.
Kate is cagey.
So here's a bit of fun news that we can speculate. We all know
speculation.
Edgar Wright left Ant-Man, but it seems like maybe Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Ryan are going to start hashing out a new trilogy. Maybe is that
not a new trilogy? It's a new movie.
Well, it might be a trilogy.
That movie's just having like the worst luck.
Which one, Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Well, it's great. It's going on. It's going.
But are y'all ready for this?
I have faith in
Marvel.
I'd rather him do this than Ant-Man, of course. This is his familiar ground, and he can film it in England. Let him go do it.
Do you think so? Do you think he should stay?
Anytime he can work with Peg is fine with me. They're badass.
But is he? Wasn't he getting ready to do a movie he was trying to do for 10 years? Now instead,
not always.
He should be.
But he might be.
What was the name of it? It's some like baby
what?
Something. His movie he's getting ready to do now.
Edgar Wright, yeah.
Edgar Wright?
Yeah.
But, so Edgar Wright did a movie without those guys, and it was Scott Pilgrim. It did.
Peg and Frost.
And it was
movies outside of it.
Yeah, for some reason, Simon Pegg's movies are terrible if he's not in an Edgar Wright movie.
Agreed.
Like,
Run
Fat Boy Run, no Happiness.
Had people.
Well, they're trying
yeah.
to turn him into like
Paul.
Paul
was an
Edgar Wright. Paul was not Edgar Wright.
That's why I said Paul was not Edgar Wright.
But it was supposed to be.
Okay.
Paul was good.
Paul was good, yes. I agree.
I lied.
But it was both of them. Nick and Simon.
Yeah.
I'm saying, do you think these three should stick together no matter what?
They haven't missed since freaking...
it's kind of like when you take
space.
Adam McKay and Will Ferrell and you separate them. Like, they work so well together, so why would you not want to keep them working together?
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Like putting Edgar Wright, Peg, and Nick Frost. They work fine on their own, but there's magic.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you're not going to grow as a person if you don't work with other people. So I feel like it's great that they come back together every once in a while, but they still need to branch out and see what else is out there for each of them, because what's the point if they just keep doing the same old stuff over and over again?
That's the point. Do you think they
so
run its course?
Not doing the same old stuff.
They haven't, but do you think it's their...
Well, World's End fell apart for sure. It wasn't as...
I definitely loved that movie, but it definitely didn't get... Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead. It was not in the same caliber as those two movies.
A lot of people...
So yeah, the name of his next movie is called...
It's always tough to have the third of a trilogy do better than the first two.
But they're completely different ideas, though. It's not like... It wasn't a true trilogy because they're not the same characters. If it was the same characters, I would understand sort of it falling flat, but it wasn't the same characters.
It was more the essence of... I mean, they've had the same jokes and bits since they were doing... You know, early space. I mean, it's all the same type of sense of humor.
Oh yeah, British.
So maybe they can do another.
I would rather
them be
a
different genre.
Trick it up and do like a little bit more of a drama. That'd be kind of cool. But
I don't feel like that's Edgar's wheelhouse, though. I think he's doing those
comedic
little
elements, but have a more serious twist rather than zombies or evil cop, whatever the hell they want to come up with next. But. There better be Cornetto's ice cream. What the fuck? I don't mind interrupting.
This is part two of Cornetto trilogy.
Yes,
Flood and ice cream.
Totally.
I'm all for it. I love those guys.
Yeah.
Chemistry, and they do well together. I just only wish that Scott Pilgrim did better.
Yeah.
And it was more well received because it was awesome.
But I think Scott Pilgrim's gonna be one of those movies that is gonna have a life.
Yeah,
way longer. Yeah, it already has.
Like Empire Records.
Yeah, and it's going to be one of those movies that in 20 years there's going to be like this whole audience. It's like, I grew up watching this. This was a very important film.
As people get bigger too, like the actors, I think it'll build just like Empire Records.
Yeah,
and it was a little ahead of its time, I think.
And that was sort of like the best Michael Cera was ever going to be.
The one where it was like it was like a Fight Club movie?
With Youth and Revolt?
I loved that movie.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
That was a great movie.
I loved that movie because
it was the first time I'd seen Michael Cera in a character that wasn't like the character we always see.
Like the awkward teenager.
He definitely needs to reinvent himself.
He's
one that needs to reinvent himself because
it's the end.
That was great. See, something
that
really
was
like that.
That was like
my
favorite role.
I'm an
asshole. So, I'm excited for it. What was
the movie? So, Edgar Wright's next movie and the movie he was working on for a while is called Baby Driver, which actually is supposed to star Simon Pegg. And it's basically a crime thriller action musical, is what they're saying. So, But then, right after that, he's going to be doing a movie called Grasshopper Jungle, which sounds like it's right up his alley, because he's saying it's a mix between Stand By Me and Attack the Block. And it's about a small town that unleashes a giant horde of 6-foot praying mantises.
What?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's do that.
I only want to have
just put Simon Pegg in it.
Food and sex.
So that's serious right there, for sure. Yeah. But do you feel, you know, like, since he's no longer involved in Ant-Man, do you think Ant-Man's going to be successful? Because I know a lot of people are waiting for Marvel to have a bad movie.
Well, this is their first movie where they've had trouble with replacing directors several times.
Mm.
So the first time they've had issues with directors.
But it's John Favreau leaving.
Leaving, but they didn't fire him.
Yeah.
He didn't even get him again.
It did derail the movie a little bit, though.
I feel it's only a matter of time before a movie's not as successful.
Yeah, he directed it.
Yeah.
If you listen to the commentary tracks on Iron Man 1 and 2, you can hear Favreau's disdain for Marvel.
How they handled him, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I'll definitely see Ant-Man. I'm excited.
Well, he's a character, though. Like, Disney gave him, he has some other movies he's doing for Disney to sort of pay him.
Jungle Book.
His Magic Kingdom's work.
Yeah.
People are saying this would be the first flop, though. That
he's doing Jungle Book? I thought what's Andy Serkis doing?
Jungle
Book Origins or something.
Well, he's doing
Ron Howard's doing a Jungle Book. And
Andy Serkis is also directing a Jungle Book.
Yeah, but who was?
That's what, like, Cumberbatch and all the.
Yes.
Cumberbatch is in Favreau's.
Okay.
But I saw the picture of him and
Andy Serkis is directing. It's his directorial debut, they said. So
that's cool.
Oh, he's already directed something.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm interested.
Well, what was it? What did he direct?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Gollum.
Some biopic about some guy?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up too.
All right, we're moving on.
Okay.
You get us up. Let's talk about Doctor Who new season premiered yesterday.
Yeah, Doctor number 12 with Peter Capaldi.
And let's talk about how it got almost 7 million viewers in the UK for Doctor Who.
It was the biggest premiere since 2010.
Do we know any numbers for the US? Okay.
Not yet.
Not yet?
No. There's like prelim, but I know that they aired it a couple of times yesterday. They did back-to-back, and then the all-day reading.
What's up? I watched it.
So first
of all,
good job, Adam.
I thought that was the
question. Was it good? How was Peter?
Oh, it was great. They did a lot of self referencing of the fact that he's older and, like, you know, and that you've seen this face before, because he was in an episode of Doctor Who about a couple, 2 or 3 seasons ago.
Yeah. I feel like Doctor Who was a show for, you know, the movie geeks, the TV, the sci-fi geeks, and now it's become way mainstream.
But
that's why they're trying to reel it back, and, you know,
it became way in a good way, I thought. But I feel like this might be a step back. We'll see how the ratings are, because I don't know if he's going to be as successful as the last two Doctors, as Matt Smith or David Tennant, because I think those brought a lot of new people, younger people,
that's
to
say it.
Doctor Who, and I don't think Peter Capaldi can keep a lot of that audience.
He was good.
I'm going to say it. David Tennant, least favorite Doctor. I'm going to say it.
That's fighting words. Fighting words.
He's still a great actor.
He's a great actor, but the writing of his season.
Blink. That's all I have to say about that.
Then he wasn't even in that episode.
That's all I have to say about that.
I'll say it.
But do you think Doctor Who has become too mainstream?
It's going the way it needed to go.
I think it's becoming part of our culture, but I don't necessarily think it's too mainstream, because there are still so many people. Who at this table besides Adam and me who actually watch Doctor Who?
I watch Doctor Who.
Okay.
Like, it's been around for 50 years, so it's had that long of a time to gain so
many
fans.
Yeah, I say, it's always been mainstream in Europe, or in England.
But it's come here in a big way.
Right.
You can buy their stuff at Hot Topic. You can buy their stuff
at Bicycles.
Yeah, it's like crazy.
And it's because it's the accessibility of it. Like, you can get it on any format now. But
because the younger Doctors were more relatable, and that's one thing that they actually poke fun of, is like, oh, you know, like, Jenna Coleman, who plays, what's her name, Clara, she is sort of like the audience in a way, because she's like, I don't know who this new Doctor is. Like, I feel he's older. And they're trying to, like, say, no, he's not older. He's the same Doctor. He's just different. And it's, so we're sort of going on.
Which is funny, because she's not coming back after this season.
A lot of people last night are like, that has been confirmed, so we'll wait and see.
Yeah, so Claire, we're sort of like following Claire's journey in the same sense, because we're finding out about this new Doctor that Tammy likes the Doctor. Is it the same type of Doctor? Yeah, so it's. I think they did a really good job with the first episode.
Was
sort of pulling you in and doing that stuff.
I read an interesting article about Peter Capaldi, how he got into acting from watching Doctor Who. And he wrote Doctor Who a letter, and they sent him a script.
That's
and
right.
stuff, and that's how he got into acting.
The same with David Tennant.
Awesome.
David Tennant was the same way.
That is pretty cool.
Where he was a huge Doctor Who fan, and like it was what shaped his childhood and shaped him as an actor.
And so what season is this again?
This is season...
It's 9? 8? 8? Season 8?
Yes.
So, alright, season 8. That's pretty long for a BBC show. They don't usually go that long.
Season 8
for the new Doctor.
The new Doctor, yeah.
Yeah.
But then there was like almost a 10-year gap. Really.
There was.
So, between when the classic one ended and
that's what I'm talking about. But most BBC seasons don't last that long and they're really.
Unless it's like.
Short seasons. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I can't believe it got 7 million. That's like more than a lot of TV shows in the U.S.
Yeah,
I like Fawlty Towers.
Or Skins.
But the thing is, like, I really like Peter Capaldi.
Do you think he's right for the Doctor? Do you think
he's a great actor.
Why not? I think
I don't know. See, I'm still up in the air. But they always say that you love the Doctor.
Wait till you watch the whole episode.
That's not necessarily true because I the Doctor is kind of like James Bond. There's different actors.
Yeah.
I totally think Daniel Craig's one of the best Bonds out there. Like he's
not
amazing. I know, but it's kind of like the same thing. It's like,
but that's
I
the
think
first
this,
one that you fell in love with was like Daniel Craig.
I really like him. I like Sean Connery.
Who's the first role? Did you watch Doctor?
Which one do you not like?
I mean, I watched Christopher Eccleston. I loved him as that.
He's my favorite.
He's not my favorite. I like Tennant a lot. I did.
Okay.
I
like Matt Smith.
I like Matt Smith a lot. So mine is, for me, it's
and I'm so mad to see
Eccleston, Smith, and then Tennant.
I'm so mad how Moffat handled Matt Smith's exit. I'm still not happy with the way he ended the show. But I'll just put that out there, Stephen Moffat.
All right.
Come on, man.
Let's move on. There's a comic book, a really cool comic book called Powers. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend you get the graphic novels. But
who writes it?
Brian Michael Bendis.
What's it about?
Omen. Huh?
What's Powers about? So people that don't know what it's about.
Powers. It's about a detective.
That investigates superhero crimes.
Correct.
That used to be a superhero himself, but lost his powers.
Correct.
But does he get him back?
We don't know yet. But there's a lot of trades out there. I highly recommend it. But they've been trying to make this TV show for a long time. And weirdly enough, the PlayStation Network bought the rights to it. So it's going to be in a, like Netflix or Hulu, it's going to be an original show for the PlayStation Network. So you have to have a PlayStation to watch it. But they cast it. Charlton Copley from District 9 will be the main guy. And Michelle Forbes will be the other female lead.
Love it.
I like Charco. It's an interesting. If you've read the books, they definitely don't look Charco.
How do you feel about game consoles branching out to their own content like that?
It's awesome for them, but it's also fuck. I have to buy it. I have to pay something else for this. You know?
Didn't Xbox announce that they actually decided not to go that route? They don't want to.
I don't know. Did they?
Yes,
they did.
They announced that they don't want to actually.
But the Halo show will still be coming out. But
yeah. But other than that, they said they're not going to actually reach out. And do
but then, so you have to pay for Amazon Prime. You have to pay for Hulu. You have to pay for Netflix. You have to play for PlayStation. And what else? Whatever. Anything else? It's like a lot of
Hulu
money.
Plus, Hulu,
it's going to get up to cable again.
Vivo.
What do you think, Susan?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What's television?
I'm just here. I don't know what's going on.
What do you think about a video game console having its own original series?
Be honest.
It's unappealing.
Why is it unappealing?
Well, it's from, but like my personal.
If it's good content, though, what if it's it's great.
I mean, it probably would be.
What if Downton Abbey was on PlayStation only?
Or Pretty Little Liars.
How awesome would that game be? Are you upstairs or downstairs?
Like, for its target, like audience, or whatever the people are trying to sell it to, it would do well, probably.
Well, Powers came out a long time ago, so I don't know if the new generation knows what about it.
Maybe, Susan, are you trying to say, like, because it's such a limited audience, it's like such a specific audience, it's like when you have like a Netflix original series, it's really just for this one group, so like having a specific console-only series, it's really just appealing to this, and then you have to kind of
Susan, you're so smart. I didn't get that. Yeah.
I just figured there was already going to be like a fan base, like a following or something.
Well, it's telling you.
It's definitely a following, but it's, yeah.
It's like Yahoo buying community. Like, who knew Yahoo was showing TV shows at all?
Yeah, exclusively.
So, but it's good and bad. At the same time, like, you feel like, why didn't like a mainstream network pick up Powers? Like,
I think they tried that first and nobody got it.
And no one did it. So, like, that kind of concerns me a little bit. Because, like, I've watched several.
You're concerned that studios miss on shit?
Oh, a lot of time. But like Amazon, like, they've tried. They're trying to get into this mainstream with shows and stuff like that. And I don't think they've actually been real successful with anything. They've had several pilots I've watched and have not been impressed. And they actually have real creative people. Like, they had Chris Carter from X-Files have something. And I was like,
it's coming out.
Yeah, but, like, the problem is you don't hear about it. Like, is it coming out? Yeah. Netflix does a good job promoting it. Exactly. Netflix does a good job.
At the end of the day, it's funny with Netflix, because I don't really feel like Netflix does a really great job of putting out their stuff either. Because they, like, will, like, think about the Will Arnett show that just came out
that
on
weird,
Friday.
That weird animated
And you're
show.
Like, where did this show come from?
Right.
Like, I opened up, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember them talking about that, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, I don't write about Netflix stuff unless it's Orange is the New Black or Orange is the New Black.
Maybe they knew that, you know, they're all about content, though, too. Because so they're like, they don't have shows that are just doing for content purposes, like the shows. They know what shows are going to do well, so they promote those shows. Like Orange is the New Black, they know there's a huge audience.
Sure.
They want to keep bringing
people back
to that.
But I think the thing is, like, with Netflix, with Amazon, and now with this console one, they're going to be able to just target it right to the people who are turning that item on.
Yeah.
And so they don't have to worry about...
Which is several million people.
Yeah, it is. It's
fine.
And they don't have to release their numbers either. So, like, the success rate... I think that there was a really good article this week about, like, AMC decided to renew that shitty show, Halt and Catch Fire. I know that...
I liked it.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
It's got local ties.
But it never hit a million views. It never hit a million viewers. And... Because it was that first premiere.
It
took
with
a
the PR,
bit.
but not initial views. You're right. It ended up around 900,000 or something like that.
And so there was this article about this is the new model now. Like, they're going to renew a show because people are going to find it in these 9 months after.
Yeah. That's the whole model of Breaking
Bad. You have to use
their first seasons had it.
Yeah, you have to use those first few seasons to get the excitement going.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
use these other means, like Netflix, to build audiences that are watching this whole thing about, like, you know, just watching a bunch of shows all at once, like gorging themselves on a full season in a weekend. And that's like a new trend that a lot of studios are actually hoping happens. And so that's why you're seeing, like, all these people trying to get deals with Netflix and other streaming media. Like, Seinfeld has been talking, he wants to get Seinfeld on Netflix, but Larry David is against it. And so that's like a huge debate right now. It's like, what's the benefit of that versus just the regular old syndication?
Technically, they show Seinfeld like 20 times a day.
Oh, exactly. So they're making so much money.
But you have to think about the people who have cut the cord.
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
And
exactly.
You rely on how do
you
know?
No, I haven't had it for like a year and a half.
And so when the people who have cut the cord who are the ones who are getting Hulu Plus, the ones who are getting the Xbox,
Netflix,
the
Amazon,
and all those things, which I'm like, guys,
which I but I like speaking of Seinfeld, I have the DVDs. I can just pop in any of them I want to.
And they're starting to not make as many DVDs of things. Like, they're really focusing on digital.
Which
sucks
because it sucks
yeah.
because
yeah.
they can decide even if you buy it, they can decide any moment that this isn't a good copy and take it from you.
Or say, like, this is expired, you have to rebuy it again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which sucks.
And I feel like, like what she said, like, we're going to see more and more of, like, the old stuff we wish we were going to get converted from DVD to Blu-ray, so that's not going to happen. Like, we will probably want to see one of yours on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's coming out.
Well, it's DVD.
It's on DVD,
time.
But not
well, it's coming out on
Blu-ray.
DVD for the first time.
Because DVD's cheap enough, Blu-ray is not, unfortunately. So then you'll see a lot of stuff, like,
but the weird thing for that, which I'm not happy about, Wonder Years, is releasing the entire series at once, which means you're going to have to spend, like, $200-$300
on
everything. It was like, release two or three a year. So you can, you know...
See, I don't think there's not enough
that might be, like...
It's actually smarter because the people are spending money. Like, think about the people who paid the $300 for the Breaking Bad barrel whole collection.
And I didn't get that. I wanted to, but I bought the season's pass. I was like, why do I need it? There's a 1 hour extra that I don't have that's not on there.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things because they're looking... And it's going to change. It's going to change as the consumer does because there's going to be people who are like you that are like, I don't want to spend $300 on a whole series. But there's going to be people who are like, yes, That's what they're thinking because they're binging on stuff. Yeah. So like, if they're going to binge watch it streaming, then why would they not want to have it for themselves and binge watch it whenever they want? And it's going to be interesting because I think that there's really no trend in the market for what's going to work and what's not going to work. Because a lot of people are also getting binge fatigue. Like, I know a lot of people who can't binge watch as much anymore.
I think that some shows that, like Orange is the New Black or the latest Arrested Development, I think that would have been better received if they only released two episodes a week.
But Netflix also is actually releasing those out on DVD and Blu-ray also.
Correct, they are.
So Power will probably find its way to Blu-ray as well.
It's coming back, too.
Yeah, it's a season. But it's interesting that the PSN network, I feel like, if it's their first foray into it, they went with something that a lot of people don't know about. It's like, why didn't they try to do, like, with Sony Spider-Man or something like that.
But,
Sony PlayStation.
You know what I think is interesting about the decision to do that is they're also aware of the market, and right now they know who their audience is. It's people who play video games, obviously. And having a show about superheroes or, like, the, you know, existential nihilistic opinions and feelings of what do you do when you don't have your powers, that's going to appeal to these because it's still superhero. It's not like they're throwing, like, a Breaking Bad, like, show on there. It's not like they're throwing some wholly original content in there. They're not. They're taking somebody else's idea and adapting it.
But I feel there's probably more than just powers that's going to be coming out.
Yeah,
they're
going to use it as an example.
They're going to see what works with that. And I'm sure they're going to throw a few other shows to see, like, what people are interested in, move in that direction.
I'm very fascinated by all these things. I got so pissed because I...
me too. It's fascinating. Like, what actually succeeds and what doesn't is always fascinating.
Well, and I also get mad about, like, okay, so I have DirecTV. And I can't get access to, like, FX On Demand and Fox On Demand. Like, those are just things I can't have.
It's like having shows I watch.
Yeah. It's, like, essentially, like, everything I watch is FX. And I can't watch anything On Demand. If I can, it's, like, standard definition, which is, I'm like, why even try with my life? But then you have Xbox 360, and they have, like, that whole connection to all these different things. And so it's, like, one more thing I have to buy. Like, I've seen that before. I'm like, one more thing that I have to get.
PSN. Yeah, that's,
and you're not really saving any. You're like, oh, I can watch it whenever I want. And then it's, like, one, but binge the deep. One, two, I have to buy a lot of shit. Three, I'm like, I already
have. It's still, I was paying over, like, $220 for cable, and I've knocked that down, like, 70% still by buying stuff on iTunes with Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon Prime.
Do you feel cable's going to realize that they're starting to miss more and more of the market, so they're going to start making deals with, like, Amazon and stuff?
I think they're going to probably
be more
up
like
your internet.
Well, you heard, like, HBO has announced that they're going to let you buy HBO by itself,
which is awesome. Great. I will totally spend $10 a month for HBO.
So you feel like, you know, the actual channels are going to start doing that, where they're, like, going to pull away from the actual, you know, TV networks and say, no, sorry.
But it's going to have to be somebody like HBO who
has
a shit ton of money, and they have 40 years of success behind them.
Does that mean they take away HBO Go, though? I mean, is that the retaliation?
No, the thing is, well, HBO is going to say, I'm doing HBO Go by itself on my own.
Yeah, you can buy, like essentially a Netflix subscription.
Exactly.
Because that's if everybody had their way, they would all do a la carte. We'd all have 20 channels instead of 400. But they don't do that. And if you want 20 channels, they charge you for the HD. They charge you for the set-top box, which all is free if you buy, like, the big package, which is 90.
Yeah.
So it's...
I just get upset because I really want to... I saw the premiere of The Nick. I've seen it
before,
and it's on Cinemax, and I don't get Cinemax. And I'm like, guys, I'm not
going to
buy.
Luckily, HBO owns Cinemax. We'll pick it up.
They only show the first one.
They own the full season.
They haven't done that with any of their other shows.
They haven't done it with Banshee. This is so much bigger.
Or Strike Back.
It's not getting the same numbers.
Or Strike Back. Strike Back, same way with Cinemax.
Yeah, it's not going to go. They're going to force you to buy it. They're going to force you to get Cinemax. And I'm not going to do it until they get more original content. That was my decision the other day.
So that's something they will buy on Blu-ray right there. So that's something I can't watch. So that's one reason why I buy Blu-rays now. It's something I can't watch on my normal channels. I'll buy a season of something I want to watch.
It's like having a
whole new commentary. I want to get the extra stuff. That's one reason why Blu-rays are the extras.
And I would believe it from, like, Starz, because Starz has a deal with DirecTV where you can watch Starz shows and Showtime shows on their audience channel. And the same with, like, Time Warner. You can watch them on their special in-house channels.
Yeah.
Cinemax and HBO, they don't have to do shit. They can decide. They can literally pull themselves out of a subscription service and be like, whatever, I'm going to just go and be HBO and be a Max.
Well, Cinemax is owned by HBO, too. So.
Yeah, so it's like, and they also have so much content.
Yeah.
And once they can get as much content.
So much licensing deals with all the movies. movie company.
They can get more content, then it'll be worth it. But it's also, like, if you start thinking, I can do a la carte, I can do whatever shows I want, how do you have discoverability? How do you find stuff? You still have to...
Someone has to be watching it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're here for, tell us.
Word of mouth.
Well, I got so pissed. I'm watching all of the Real Housewives of any franchise now.
No.
It's just like brain dead. That's all I want to watch.
All right.
Let's
speaking of, we talked a little about superheroes. I'm going to segue this in
oddly
superheroes to the man who made a bat dance. Prince announced last week that he has a new album coming out, but it's going to be a imprintable Prince fashion. Did a big deal about it. It's going to be kind of like a greatest hits type of thing. But he also announced that this week he's going to announce a mega piece of information. He used the word mega.
Of course.
Some people are thinking that it's finally going to be his new album that he's been talking about for years.
You mean whispering about?
Whispering about?
Yes.
Who doesn't like Prince here? Does nobody like Prince? Prince is awesome. He's one of the best guitarists in the world.
I don't think about Prince as much as you.
I like his giant bass guitar.
It's
super cool.
My caring of Prince stopped after Rosalind.
Fred Armisen stopped doing the...
He didn't even have anything to do with that.
No, but I like that song.
You like that version of that song?
Yeah.
The kid who sang that song in that movie is from Plano.
Oh, cool.
Black kid. I don't remember his name. But Prince.
He's a genius. Quality. Great. Still boring.
Yeah. Why is that still boring? He's still relevant. He discovered
he was in an episode of New Girl.
Yeah. That was my last memory of Prince.
Did you watch this?
Playing ping pong on New Girl.
Yes. What kind of question is that?
I've always thought Prince's voice to be very creepy.
But Prince
is. It's really creepy. I'm so surprised that he. I would much rather talk about Michael Jackson.
What? Oh, like scandals?
Yeah.
Well,
that's because he just loves.
He likes women.
He likes real women.
He likes women.
He's all about pussy. Michael Jackson didn't sing about pussy.
I know.
Prince sung "Pussy Control."
I don't know, some of Michael Jackson songs.
But also, Prince sung about Jesus constantly.
And a raspberry beret. So.
But I still think Prince like knows what he's doing. He's still relevant. He's still. He's still better than most of the stuff that comes out today.
Did you enjoy his Super Bowl?
I did. What rain?
What's his
rain?
What
was his rain? Purple rain.
He did.
Give him that shit.
What was his last hit?
Musicology from the Musicology album.
Never heard of it.
Years ago. Awesome. I do. Pomp and Circumstance was a great song, too.
And like 12 people.
Illusion Coma.
Favorite song by Prince.
That's not Pomp and Circumstance.
Sing it for us, Susan.
Susan, can you name a Prince song?
When Doves Cry, Raspberry Beret, 1999.
I asked Susan.
There's a thing.
Kiss?
I don't know. I know his, like, if I heard his music, look. I would know, like...
You probably danced to it all the clubs you go to.
I just don't. I know that song.
But he also did Batman soundtrack, which was weird, from Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Party Man.
Party like it's 19.
Electric Chair.
Hold up, it is.
Oh. But I
who is that? Is that Limp Bizkit?
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit just got mentioned for
was
the first
that,
time
was
on our podcast. It only took 41 weeks.
Are you sure they've mentioned before?
Have they? I don't think so.
One random roll.
Hold on.
What do you think about the NFL asking musical artists to pay to be the Super Bowl halftime show now? Because that's something that's a new
thing. Did you not hear about that?
So
going back to your love of Prince, this is a great segue.
Yeah.
Prince, Katy Perry, and Rihanna are the three on the short list this year for the Super Bowl halftime show.
Say that again?
Prince, Katy Perry, and Rihanna.
All right, Rihanna and Katy Perry have no talent.
That's not what we're talking about,
yeah.
Brian.
Prince?
No, you love Prince. You can start.
Prince could not hear because he was on it a few years ago.
Okay.
Hologram Michael Jackson's not coming back, Brian.
I don't want that either.
The point of this is, so what they're doing, NFL is doing, to cut costs of the Super Bowl,
Jesus
is
Christ.
To now say, if you want the attention of 100 million viewers, you have to pay to be the halftime performer.
How much will you pay us?
Usually,
you
fucking Justin Bieber every year.
No, usually
you
get paid to be on the show because you're a fucking performer.
You're, you're
working
for them. Yeah,
on Super Bowl when they could be at home
like, no,
watching.
You actually get so much benefit from being on the Super Bowl, and you got to pay us. How much are you going to pay us to be on the show? Because whoever must pay us the most is the one that's going to.
They're probably going
to
charge advertising.
Guys,
you're talking about the biggest event on the planet.
Oh, we can't.
And
the big game. Sorry, we can't.
Yeah, and the
don't
NFL.
Matter the talent. You're talking about more exposure than any other possible entity in the year.
For
the
next month.
It's the biggest audience there
for
is
the month.
Every year. Fuck the month, the entire year. It's the biggest amount of people.
It is.
Coldplay doesn't go and say, we'll give you $10 million for
this. Oh, it was actually Coldplay.
But yes, they would.
Taylor Swift.
How stupid would they be?
Coldplay.
Is it a cheap move by the NFL?
You should have corrected me.
But you're talking about, they have the weight to say, we are the biggest audience in the planet every year, guaranteed.
I hope
and by 20 million.
It does help all
but
know,
what
album sales go up immediately.
I'm sorry, if Rihanna wants to be fucking Beyonce, the bitch goes on there and pays.
But what's going to happen is you're going to get shitty musicians that are
popular. We have shitty music now. Kid Rock was on there. Fuck.
Bruno
and that
Mars
was the worst one.
Bruno Mars was
good.
He was good, though.
I thought Black Eyed Peas was pretty bad.
They're pretty bad.
Black Eyed Peas terrible band now.
How about Bruce Springsteen shelling out? Well, fuck it, I'll do it.
That was awesome.
That
would do it.
Who
was
would
have been worth it? I don't mind the band doing it.
Well, and then they do these things where they take a risk. And sorry, I'd like to correct myself. It wasn't Prince. It was Coldplay.
Yeah.
So it was Coldplay,
so
Rihanna,
Prince is not,
and Katy Perry.
Not
so
one
that's
of
would have been better.
Like,
I didn't want to make you
feel
that way.
No, it's fine. We're a news source.
So now Brian's out of it all together.
Stop saying Super Bowl. We should say big games.
But Coldplay sucks too.
The big game.
What I'm more upset about is the fact that here's the thing, guys. The fact that the NFL makes more money each week than they would generate out of one Super Bowl game, and the audacity to ask the performers to come on and be like, you have to pay to play? No.
Most people are going to say no. It's going to be the shitty artist that
so we'll see how
pays to play.
I'm just
it hasn't
like,
been great. I mean, it also have to be, they're also, because of Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, the performers have been getting safer and safer and safer. And then they tried with MIA and Madonna, and they fucked up again, and it's been safer and safer and safer, and it's been boring.
Yeah.
And
this adds excitement, because what happens if some crazy motherfucker like Guns N' Roses says, fuck, we got money in the bank, let's go do this shit.
I would
think,
how cool
would
that
be?
How awesome Axl Rose would be on live TV.
He would
go
crazy.
It's
going to be
Creed, like,
but they're a good band.
But what if it was, okay, so
with
if, we're going,
right
for
open,
if we're going for the idea that they can pay, what if there's some really popular group from like India or the Middle East and something that has like billions of dollars from some sultan, and then they are just like, and here's this.
It could be Psy.
Well,
that's
the thing though.
A bazillion dollars.
NFL's created a short list, and that's why they people they know they want to perform, and that will actually help their brand. And so that I don't think
this isn't just like, okay, you guys are performing for one show. You guys are performing for not only this huge audience, but all of the money that is involved in the commercials and all that are big, major corporations. They see you play with the big NFL boys. A DirecTV won't go to Coldplay and say, let's do something.
Well, how many Prince
and Amazon?
How many Prince
commercials
have you seen?
You know what we want you.
I haven't seen Prince on a Dorito commercial because he was on the Super Bowl.
He got a new girl.
I
mean, he's
I would feel it would be one
Black
thing.
Black Eyed Peas.
Because there's also a couple of things. There would probably be, if they did it for free, that would be one thing. Like, if they did it for free,
and
it's not like the paying thing. Like, the idea that this is now an advertisement for that segment.
Yeah.
Because
it is an advertisement for that
segment. It only is, but at the same time, they're like,
y'all are acting like this is a concert. This is for, like,
But also, you have to understand that there are rules, and they're in guilds, too, and they have rules that they have to abide by as well. That are part of their contracts of being a musician, a professional musician, just like there's parts of being an actor and actress. You have to make
there is that legality to it for sure. But this also isn't a concert. So if the NFL wanted to say this is a segment in our show, and we're bringing you into our show, so we'd like you to pay for that amount of time, just like we make every motherfucker pay for 30 seconds of commercial. We just want you to pay for your 15 minutes you're on our damn stage. We are the biggest on the planet.
But
it is a way for the NFL to dictate without having to dictate like they do now, where they have to worry about Nipplegate. If some crazy son of a bitch comes on there, they can always just say, we just accepted the money now. It's a legal issue for them as well. I don't like it. I think the NFL is cheap. I mean, they're billionaires. Why don't they just pay for new artists or give all the money to charities?
Because they're assholes and money grubbing.
It's Jerry Jones' owners. You guys are thinking these guys are going to... I mean, they don't even want to play
They don't even want to pay their players brain injuries money to take care of them because their fucking sport has destroyed them. Like, it's a terrible thing.
But I'll still watch the damn sport. That's the difficulty. If I've seen that documentary, which is sad.
So it should be pretty interesting. It should be interesting to see how this develops and see what happens. We'll bring you an update once we figure out.
I like this. We're going to follow the Super Bowl.
We're going to follow the story. We're
going
to follow the story and get back to you.
Investigate journalism.
What else you got, Brian?
All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
I have a big piece of news.
All right, let's move on to movies that came out this week. There are several. Alive Inside, the one I love, When the Game Stands Tall, Love is Strange, If I Stay, and Sin City 2.
Love is Strange is not
September.
Now.
September. We'll
talk
about Iron's great movie later.
Wait, didn't it come out in New York, though?
No, but we... We'll
it's not wide.
Are we just talking about movies that came out in Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep it local.
What did Life After Death come? It's on VOD.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Love is Strange too.
All right, so let's. Did anybody see Alive Inside the documentary?
It's a lot of like emotions this Friday.
Did somebody go see Alive Inside the documentary yet? Planet Angelica? No.
What is it about? Can we talk with
the I don't know what it's about.
It is about. It's a documentary about the way music affects old people that are basically shut down.
Oh.
So it is. It is pretty
like they're sick or they.
Yeah.
And they come out of it.
Yeah.
The trailer looks. I got a little teary.
Yeah, it's good. And you'll cry.
Okay, so Adam saw it. He says it's a tear. It's a tear.
Take your mom too. Take your mom.
All right, let's move on to.
My mom would hate that.
Well, most sorry, when most moms.
My mom hates anything that makes her cry.
Let's move on to the one movie that I saw at DIFF this year, Dallas International Film Festival in April. The one I love, sorry, Mark Duplass and Elizabeth Moss.
Duplass.
Fuck up his name.
Yeah.
Duplass.
Duplass.
What does he say? A biopic.
Duplass and Elizabeth Moss. I loved it. I loved that movie. If you haven't gotten a chance, go on Video On Demand or go to your local theater.
It's Planet Angelica.
Go
to Angelica.
Isn't there a lot of controversy about that movie?
We can't talk about this. We don't want to talk about the reveal.
It's like two people go on a weekend getaway and stuff happens.
Let's talk about the plots of the movies, guys.
Yeah. So y'all, Gotti and Susan here both interviewed Mark Duplass and the director of the movie. How did that go?
It was great. It's probably one of my favorite interviews.
I don't think people realize who the director is. Though.
Charlie McDowell.
But no, I mean not just his name.
Malcolm's son.
Malcolm and Mary Steenburgen's son and Ted Danson's
son.
So that's why Ted's in it.
It was the moon. That was
Ted's
that's
great.
Why he's got those
the
piercing eyes from his pop.
Charlie's, this is a great feature debut.
It's a great movie. It was my favorite film.
Did Malcolm McDowell produce it?
No.
What son was that?
I don't know their relationship. I don't think anyone
that
asked.
Was a Jimmy Iovine.
I didn't realize who Charlie was.
I just didn't talk about it.
He's such a nice guy, though. I was impressed.
Does he look like his dad at all? Or
more? Yeah, he's got the eyes.
Yes, he does.
And the voice.
They were both really nice.
It's a really well done look at sci-fi without being sci-fi.
I was impressed. The way they put it, they want something to happen every 8 minutes, so there was a surprise happening. And
it
was 90 minutes long.
Well,
it kept
great twists.
Yeah.
When you tell me the movie is 90 minutes long, I am on board.
It won't suck out your life. It's really it hits you with
it was perfect.
And it has
like
really great original premise. Like they said, it stemmed from the idea how like couples or people in relationships, they get the best versions of themselves in first
initially, and then
slowly just get comfortable.
You peel that onion back and start to stink.
Alright, another movie that came out for you, we talked about football movie came out. When the Game Stands Tall.
Terrible.
It was terrible.
Terrible
movie.
What is it about?
It's about
undefeated football.
De La Salle's football
high school
team.
Actually, they won 151 games in a row. But
incredible. It wasn't
about that. It was about them losing the streak, and there's big religious tones and
like
acting, the script was terrible.
Jim Caviezel gives his worst performance I've ever seen.
Well, you guys have to understand that Jim Caviezel isn't anything that's a religious film.
No, it's like he didn't care about
the movie. Have you seen his movie?
He pretty much must have agreed to his movie and then was like,
he probably had a bill.
He's already making so much money off a person's interest, he's like, I'll do whatever now.
Whatever.
I don't recommend seeing it.
No.
It
did
was
you,
not good.
Did you interview the director?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
How'd that go?
Just go read about
Brian. Brian
was like,
the best movie ever.
Like, yeah. The thing.
I guarantee you that
he wasn't going to give you any
applause.
Like, he needed to. Like, Mark DePlace and Charlie McDowell were like, fine.
So yeah, don't go see that one. But I didn't see this next one, but did anyone saw If I Say?
Me.
I wasn't.
She stayed.
I stayed, yeah. It's a teeny bopper romance. It's definitely cheesy, and it's got those one-liners where, like teenage girls are going to love it, because there's
the heartthrob.
Yeah, it definitely plays on your emotions with the music and stuff, and then there's this heartthrob with rocker band guy who's so in love with her after just hearing her play her music, and he's just like, he says all those lines like, you can't hide from me, I see you.
I see you.
But you know,
that's from Avatar, guys.
No,
come
it's
on.
It's doing really well in the box office. It's not going to be.
It's number three or four.
Yeah, it's. But it's based on a book, and it's the first of two. But what I think is interesting about it, and what Fault in Our Stars is doing, is that it's bringing back the melodrama, and it's about damn time.
I enjoy these
teenagers.
Films. Like,
yeah, because
it's a teenage version.
Like, this is what. We need movies like that for the teens. Like, if I was, like, 8, whatever, 16, you know, whatever.
It would be your favorite movie of all time.
I would be just like those where they were coming to
the I feel it's like a most...
Just, like, spooning like crazy and crying. And it's like, I feel like that was, like, my Notebook. Something. Because I watched Notebook in middle school and I was just freaking out.
It's like a more lighthearted Lovely Bones, though, is what I feel. So
Lovely Bones.
It's a more lighthearted.
Yeah, but yeah.
Lovely Bones is terrible.
Lovely Bones.
I didn't say
it's a great book.
I didn't say it was a good movie.
This is the least sweet love story. Like,
yeah.
Chloe Grace Moretz and the guy, Jamie Black, like, they have good chemistry together. And she's so good. She's so
How's
good.
She in real life?
She's really nice.
Sweet girl.
I don't think I should say this long thing.
Yeah, so
yeah.
On. But it's not about her. It's just something else happened before the junket. But she's cool.
Was her brother Trevor there?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes, big tall dude. So yeah. sort of like Let Me In?
No, it's a sweet rose. It's about a girl who gets in a car accident with her family, and she's in a coma, and she's got to decide if she's going to stay or if she's going to die.
You know what this movie is a rip off of?
And the whole
Ghost
thing.
Dad with Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
And I'm out.
Or are you in?
I'm in.
And so she's got to make this decision, and it's all in one day, and it's like living her life. What could have been, what could have happened, shit happens, it's sad, crying, bleh. But I love melodramas, and I love that this is now a thing. And I'm so excited to see more of these books that are more realistic, that are less the paranormally vampire stuff, which is fine, I love this too. But having all of these book adaptations, I think is going to be really good, and kids really like them, and that is new for them. Like, it's really boring for us, and it's kind of like,
I still enjoy it, but it's not the same effect I would
have. It's definitely not the
if I was
same.
Younger.
Yeah.
But like,
because it's new for them.
Yeah.
It's like, everything is a new song.
And even Chloe Grace Moretz mentioned this, like, girls are thirsty for, like, this kind of romance and stuff. They're like,
I love a romance that ends in death. And so, these are my favorite kind of movies.
So, there's a teen audience that, you know, we're kind of not privy to anymore. They make certain movies for teens that we don't care about, unfortunately.
It's a big audience.
And it is. Well, and like, I just want to go back.
It's also
to, like,
something that happens to every generation.
I know. Well, I want to go back to, like, the fact that Ninja Turtles did so well. I'm like, I can't believe it. I still, like, all these people that
were Ninja
Turtles in the
80s. There was already just so many. I would have watched Ninja Turtles no matter what. I wouldn't pay for it if I didn't get the screening.
Oh, yeah, but then you watch it and you're disappointed.
Yeah.
Severely. And like, so all the other people our age are disappointed, but the kids
But you have to
it.
Think about the ones who are, like, our age who
yeah.
have kids, who take
oh,
their
yeah.
kids to see it, and their kids love it.
I know,
and
it's frustrating.
It's
that kind of
the
movies that
they're
not for me anymore.
Yeah.
There's movies that aren't targeted towards me anymore. I'm kind of disappointed.
Sorry, Andrew.
What else came out, Brian?
The other movie that came out is Sin City 2, Dame to Kill 4. I enjoyed it. If you like the first one, you're going to like the second one. It was more the same thing.
No, it's very boring.
I didn't think so. It's not the worst movie ever, and it's certainly not even good. It's just like, okay.
There's nothing.
It's the worst style of
watch. The original.
It was fun to watch visually.
I think it totally did. It was the same.
The only character that was interesting was
Gordon Levitt.
The only one.
And then they didn't.
Martha was still.
He should have had so much more. He should have been the main storyline for Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd?
That's
not even the right.
That's
not even the right.
It was.
It was like the dumbest and like cliche, unoriginal.
Because there's no payoff.
In the Clive Owen was in this one because he Josh Brolin becomes Clive Owen eventually, and that's why Clive Owen said I had to change my face. His story in this movie was a prequel.
A Dame to Kill For was the second graphic novel out of the series.
He does become Clive Owen.
So he changes and then he becomes Clive Owen's character later on.
So basically, at the end of the movie, his face is pretty much Clive Owen except for the eyes. That's, and they say, I can tell it was you from the eyes.
But it looks just like
so he switches his eyes in the next movie. So
I'll look forward to that one.
Yeah.
It's so
I enjoyed it. If you saw the first one,
but the next movie is
like
the first
second
movie.
One.
I don't think the payoffs were as good.
The prequel.
The way the story is ended was just, man.
Everybody didn't like that.
I wasn't
fulfilled at all.
Because he was the best character. And, like, they said, they built it up like it was going to be something more. And it was, like, the biggest letdown. Like,
yeah.
They started it, like, ooh. And that's why I was excited. I was like, ooh, we're going to come back to this and it's going to be good. And then,
there's a really interesting article on Grantland about Frank Miller and the way he has changed politically over time since 86 and Batman. And I think his later work, including Sin City, is some of his most annoying and beating material. And I don't think he's as good as he was. I think he's gone crazy, kind of like Ted Nugent. And no, I don't think this movie was better than the first. And the only part I enjoyed was Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
You didn't like Christopher Lloyd's cameo? That was great.
That was part of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was pointless.
I loved it.
I like his voice is so angry.
And I thought
annoying. Robert Rodriguez gives it that flair by actually giving us this beautiful vision, and it's visually stunning, but that's about it. And I had that in the first
I'm not saying that it's the perfect movie. I do think that Eva Green kept that movie going. Like, she was perfect.
She was
terrible.
No, I think she was such a perfect noir character.
Eva Green, now, when she was in Penny Dreadful, I loved.
I don't like her American accent. It's weird.
I actually thought there were moments where I thought she was a bad
All you were looking at was
Nicholas. I didn't think so. No, she was pulling that noir. That's how everything was in the
20s. But it wasn't.
Her American accent is just not good at all.
That's not Chinatown, man. That's not real noir. That's not something like where a character, I don't see that she's sleeping with her father. That whole element, this is just really simplistic bullshit. And it's like, thank you, Frank, for another wonderful story. I'm glad you're rehashing shit I didn't like.
I wanted more. I wanted more of Stacey Keach's character.
Stacey Keach's character was
a big
bad guy.
Right.
Well, in that, he's later on. I mean, in that, the.
He said,
he's trailed by his voice. I liked it.
I mean, Powers Groot, great performance. Yeah. But that's about all I liked other than Gordon Levitt.
But those were the really
beautiful.
Visually stunning.
I like her.
It's not wasting your money, but just go watch Guardians instead or some shit other than that.
People are on your page because Guardians is now number one again.
Yeah,
again.
Let's go see that again, honestly.
Good.
Guardians. Yeah, seriously.
They did announce that they're bringing out a dancing group.
It's only a Funko figure, though. It's not actually dancing.
Funko!
But people are actually buying those flowers from the 90s and converting them into dancing groups. So.
The group that they have that was a Funko that came out, they were selling it. So regular Funko sell. I collect Funko.
Yes.
So regular Funko sell for $10. The Groot sold for $40. I was like, nope, don't want that man. Nope.
But then you buy it.
No, I didn't buy it. I didn't. I was going to buy a Star-Lord one. But then I was like,
when he turns
but they have really bad one guys now? Oh, God.
With a hat.
They have four. They have one for each season.
Funko.
So what's next?
All right, those were the movies. So we're going into something we usually do on here where we list our favorites or best of. 30 years ago, coming up next week on August 30th, 1984.
Where are you going?
A movie called Chud, C-H-U-D, debuted.
CHUD. It's a 1984 cult classic horror film. It stands for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. It starred a very young John Hurd, who was the dad in Home Alone, and Daniel Stern, who was in City Slickers and The Voice.
But he was also in Home Alone. You said,
yeah, he was voiced and also in Home Alone. Yeah. So these two guys became Home Alone stars. You? I didn't think about that. But yeah, Chud came out. It's really bad. Critics hated it, but it became this cult classic. They still show it at midnight shows.
Chud 2 came out, everyone loved that.
Correct. But in honor of Chud's 30th anniversary, let's list off some of the best horror cult films that we've all liked that not necessarily did well with critics, but have garnered a big cult following. People will go see it.
I really enjoyed The Toxic Avenger. I don't know if
The Toxic Avenger is a good one. It's Troma. Yeah. Have you seen Toxic Avenger, Susan?
Yeah.
It's an excellent, it's one's favorite movie.
Yes. Not my favorite. Lloyd Kaufman is a great cult movie. But I do love Toxic Avenger. Also, Toxic Avenger, the animated series, which was my introduction to Troma.
And that's what, me too. That's why I went back and I was like, oh,
and I was like, this is a movie?
This is a cartoon.
I like The Faculty.
The Faculty?
that was a huge debacle.
People still talk about The Faculty.
The Faculty was so
good. That was Rodriguez. And filmed it awesome.
They filmed it awesome.
I loved The Faculty.
That was good.
They used to play on USA like constantly. Oh, yeah. And the bleeps are like they're the best one. There's a scene where Josh Hartnett comes out and he says, but they bleep it over there. He goes, Flee!
Flee!
He says it. My favorite.
Rocky Horror Picture Show is a big one.
Yeah.
It's a big cult film, sort of horror. It's got transvestites. And
I like Scream, but Scream.
I like the Fred Dekker duo of Monster Squad and Night of the Creeps.
Was Monster Squad definitely a cult following? I mean, people still,
they still
tour
that
with that. Well, everybody see the movie The Stuff about the ice cream that kills people?
No.
Yeah.
That's a cult
Killer
following.
Clowns from Outer Space, though.
Yes, definitely Killer Clowns.
It's like, that's the movie that made me scared of clowns. Everybody says it, but Killer Clowns.
She has a good one. Say it. Child's Play. Child's Play is a huge cult following.
I mean,
the first one got good ratings. After that, because they became silly.
Before it got to, like, Bride, there was, like, Child's Play 1 and 2.
In 3, where it was at the military academy.
Okay. I liked all the ones before he met his bride. All three were good.
I don't think I've been able to sit through one of those movies.
Really? The first one was so good.
I was so little. Like, that movie came out, what was I, like, 4 or 5?
I was too young to watch it.
And it freaked. And I had a kid sister doll. And so I was already convinced that it was possessed. And so adding on top of that, this doll.
I was scared to go to Spencer's and they'd have a giant Chucky doll every time. Every time I would be like, I need to get out of here.
I had a couple of those.
Mine was Candyman. That was
Candyman.
That movie.
Yeah. Candyman.
This bees scared the shit out of me.
I still have a Candyman.
I still can't look at. Like, I can never have a mirror across from me when I'm sleeping.
He was at Comic Con 2 years ago, and I wanted so badly to go up to him and shake his hand, but I couldn't go near that motherfucker. And he's so nice.
Tony Todd.
He
redeemed
himself with Final Destination when he was kind of like the Greek chorus of like hosting them and being like, well, don't stick your hand in a garbage disposal.
Was Final Destination sounds hard now?
But I mean, it's like it's in a cult following.
What about Evil Dead and Army of Darkness?
Absolutely. Well, Evil Dead was critically acclaimed, really had excellent. If you go on Evil Dead 2 on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like 100%.
Yeah.
But it has a cult following. Not everybody likes that, but they're. I mean, people drive.
I like Little Hotel.
That's a huge cult following. Which one?
Leprechaun.
Leprechaun?
Jennifer Aniston's
first movie. The first two are my. Wait.
That's Jennifer Aniston's face.
That's 3?
Yeah, that's 4 or 5.
There's one in Vegas I really like.
Ooh,
that's part 3, I think.
Yeah. Where they're on that golf course.
That's a good one. There's like one she like all the coins come out of her body or something. I don't know.
Do you think Napoleon Dynamite is a cult? Do you think Napoleon Dynamite's a cult movie?
Yes.
But it's not
a
horror.
It's a horror.
It's not horror. It's not
horror.
Yeah,
if
you can do any cult, I got a lot of those.
The Puppet Master franchise? I don't know if you've seen
those. Oh, Puppet Master. I had 1, 2, and 3 at some point.
What about They Live?
They Live, absolutely.
I just learned a really interesting thing about myself. I don't like any of the horror movies with, like,
weird, dull, or small things. Or like,
Reanimator? Return of the Living Dead.
There's this old movie called Cat's Eye, where it's this little troll that's trying to take the essence of a little girl, and a cat saves her.
That I remember owning that too.
Yeah, and Troll 1 and 2. Troll 2.
Ghoulies.
Troll 2. Ghoulies. When they're eating, like, the goo. I remember watching that as a kid, and they're eating the goo, and I was like, nope. Big ol' nope. No.
Nilbog. Bring that up. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Troll 2. Yeah. That might be one of the biggest cult classics.
Yeah.
But it's so weird because it's called Troll 2, but it's not a sequel. It doesn't. Yeah.
So even a Troll 1.
There's not. There is Troll.
Troll is actually good.
With the original Harry Potter. The name of the main character in Troll 1 is Harry Potter.
He's like a baby.
But there was a troll. But then they made Troll 2, which did not have any trolls, and it was not a sequel whatsoever, and did not have anything to do with the first movie.
Don't piss on hospitality.
But it was goblins, and it's such a poorly made movie. It's so badly made that they actually made a documentary on how bad it was made.
It's best worst movie.
Yeah, best worst movie, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
But that's like super stardom cult classic right there. Because if you show that, people are going to line up to watch it. And
what about Cars and Cats? Does that count as like a...
That's a horror cult classic, but it's such a bad movie by Tim Burton, by the way. What? But it had such a stellar cast.
I love it. What about Doppelganger with Drew Barrymore? That's not really a
horror. I've never heard that.
I've never heard that movie.
None of us have heard of that movie.
Yeah. No, wow, that's surprising. Susan knows what she said.
That's never happened. Slow clap.
What about,
we just found a movie that not everybody at this table has seen. Wow.
Except for Susan.
That's right. That's shocking.
What about The Thing? The Thing's a great horror classic.
What's the plot of Doppelganger?
Really?
Yeah.
Let's get back to Doppelganger.
What is the plot of Doppelganger?
Well,
she has, like, some evil...
Are you talking about Poison Ivy?
Let her talk.
All I remember was that she had this evil twin, and at the end of the movie, she basically, like, conforms, like, this slimy, goopy stuff, and, like, turns into one version back into herself or something. Like, but, like, one of them is evil, it's like a killer.
1993, Doppelganger.
Wow.
That sounds awesome.
See, what's
the name of the movie? I barely remember it.
What's the name of the movie with the evil conjoined twin that is in a basket?
The guy was
sort of alive.
That's one of our next stuff.
Is that
what we're going to watch Doppelganger.
Our next group viewing is actually the attic because only one person has seen it.
Yeah, Doppelganger. We have to watch it.
We haven't seen ACOD yet.
We find a movie that only one person has seen in the group, we have to all watch it. That's the rule.
Hey, what's the name of the one about the twin that's the conjoined one that's in the basket that goes around killing people?
I've never heard of it.
Is it called It's Alive?
It's Alive.
Okay. I've never heard of it.
Because they make fun of that on several shows.
The guy from Father
of the Bride. Yes, that guy. He was so hot in it.
Whoa!
He was so hot.
All right.
I was 5 years old, and he was the hottest dad I've ever seen.
He was young.
He was born in the 60s.
Well, we're going to end it on Doppelganger. We're all going to see Doppelganger.
93.
That is our 41st podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter. You can find us on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. Please subscribe to us. And Susan, thank you for letting us know that you've seen a movie that we have never seen. I never thought it was possible.
Well, I'm surprised you guys have never even heard
of it. Doppelganger.
I can't believe you haven't seen it.
I have not seen it. It's rare.
Yes.
But we'll be back next week. We're going to have some fun next week, but we are going to come back. We're going to have a second podcast today.
Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend. Oh, we might take next week off then.
Well, make sure that you follow us on Twitter at Multimedia Men or Multimedia Pod. You can also get us on Facebook at Multimedia Men.
Yes.
And
Stitcher Radio.
Yeah. Like us, review us. If you send us a review, we will happily read it on air. If it's good, bad, indifferent.
And mention you, yes.
And Brian will send you a t-shirt from his own collection of shirts.
That's true. I have a lot of t-shirts.
It's a Michael Jackson shirt. See, I'm zero aware.
I do have, I think, 7 Michael Jackson shirts.
Seven?